Okay, all set.
Thanks, Adina. Okay. Girls, I heard once from Rabbi Shlomo Bravde, Zichrono Livrache, who was a very chashuv yid, and he lived in part of his life in Los Angeles and part of his life in Eretz Yisrael. He was nifted a few months ago, about six, seven months ago, and he had once said that if you go through the parshiyos of Lech Lecha Vayero Chayesoro, the Ovos HaKadoshim, and you don't change something about your chesed and the way you treat people, you haven't learned the parshiyos, you haven't done anything to yourself. These are the parshiyos that we learn how our Ovos HaKadoshim dealt with people, how they did chesed, and we have to take something out of it. Now, I know we've spoken about it before, and I don't know how much I can add to your incredible actions and knowledge, but I'll try. And as I've told you many, many, many times before, that I'm speaking not from a stance of someone who's doing it, but someone who just learned the subject and teaching it. I wish I was holding that. Unfortunately, I'm not. But maybe by talking about it, it'll do something. So, tachlis. Yesterday in the morning on the way to shul, I was thinking, what is it that prevents me, us, from doing chesed properly? What is it? And not, if you want to look at it into the big picture, it's not only the act of chesed, but treating other people in general. A girl in school said to me last week, and she's very cut up about it, and she has a whole issue out of it because of it. She said, I can be sitting with my mother at the chasana or wherever we're sitting, and as soon as somebody walks in, she sizes her up from top to bottom and starts just cutting her up from according to what she's dressing, the way she looks, the way she talks. She just rips her apart. And she said, I can't stand being next to my mother. And besides, that's a sad story, but what is it that allows us to do that to people? So, let's forget the halachas of lashon hara for a moment. What is the guideline or a mindset? No, what is a mindset to help us in that kind of situation? So, very basic, I think, if we look at ourselves, each one of us thinks about ourselves. So we can think like this. I'm a person. I have sensitivities. I'm sensitive. I have things I'm working on. I have things that bring me down. I have disappointing times in my life where I can very easily be at breaking point. And as a result, if somebody snubs me or somebody spites me or doesn't give me the COVID in a nice way, I mean, gaivadik, covered in the way that I wish I could get, then I can easily crack and feel down and feel deflated. And therefore, I hope people look at me in a way and think that and give and treat me kind so nothing happens. That's how I want people to treat me. When I look at other people, I don't see that. I see another person. So I see someone who looks pretty good, looks okay, pretty confident about themselves, and not perfect. As a result, if I rip them apart, okay, so because they're not behaving well, they're doing things wrong, and okay, they'll survive it. And even if they don't, well, you know, they should have been better, they should have improved. If I would look at people with the same glasses that I look at myself, that each other person might be the breaking point, another person might be very sensitive to certain things, she might be working on Hashem knows what, and dealing with all kinds of stuff. And if I treated her with kid gloves, maybe she would feel better about herself, maybe she'd feel different, able to help herself. And I don't give that to people. I don't use those glasses for others. I use them for myself. Other people don't have those problems ever, like I have. As a result, I can smash them. And I think that's the basic mistake we make. Every person has those things, and every person needs that kind of care. If you walk around thinking of how to pick people up, and you don't have a clue what's going on in their life, and it doesn't matter what they look like. They could look confident, they could look even gaivadik, but you haven't got a clue what's going on. And if you treat them with kid gloves and with patience and with niceties and with smiles, etc., you could be building someone up who's smashed totally inside, and it changes people's lives. Okay, I'm talking a lot of abstract, in a way. I think it's very true, and I want to use this parsha, last parsha, this week's coming parsha, to bring it out. Avraham Avinu, when he did Achnasas Ochim, if we take it apart, it's abnormal. It's not normal. Briefly, without going too much into detail, because I don't know how much detail is going to help us, but just briefly. Avraham Avinu needs to give. He wants to give. So, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides otherwise. He's just after Bris Milah. He's 99. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings out a heat wave that is impossible to walk outside. It's not 103 degrees. It's much way above that, that only Malachim can walk outside. Human beings can't. So Avraham Avinu, though, doesn't take it lying down. And he says, Now, in my situation, we would have all said, phew, Baruch Hashem, nobody needs anything today. I can take it easy and recuperate for my Bris Milah. Avraham doesn't do that. Avraham Avinu is itching to nevertheless find someone. He sends Eliezer, go find someone who needs something. Eliezer comes back, there's nobody outside, there's a heat wave. Avraham doesn't believe Eliezer, he starts going towards the door. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was visiting him because he was sick of his Bris Milah, says, says, wait a minute, Avraham is going outside, or he just doesn't sit still. He has to do something good. So he sends Malachim, so Avraham Avinu will see them from his door and won't have to walk outside into this incredible heat. Okay, he goes towards the door, and he sees three Arabs who bow down to their dust or their feet. And Avraham Avinu doesn't stand in the shade and beckon to them to come to him. He runs. Hello, you're 99, you're after surgery. You ask your doctor, are you allowed to run after surgery in this heat wave? He doesn't make a cheshbon, and he runs towards them and bows down flat on his face. Who you bow down to? Arabs who bow down to the dust of their feet. And that's who you're bowing down to? Are you crazy? No. And who did he leave behind and said, I'll see you later? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But he went to bow down to the Arabs, and he beckons them and he begs them, please, Yukachna, please come to me. As if there's somebody else where they can go. There's nobody else. Everybody's closed for business because it's too hot. So they come to him, and now starts a whole chapter of Achnasas Ochim. He runs to the cattle. Elabokor Rotz Avraham. He runs. Okay, why don't you walk? No. I don't want them to wait any longer than they need to. They must be hungry. Okay, it was their risk for going out in this heat. You know, back off. No. And Elabokor Rotz Avraham, and he gets the best that he can, and he gets them tongue, and he gets the mustard, and he chem'ah v'chalav, and he gets them everything good, and water to wash their feet, and stands there serving them. Avraham Avinu had servants. Avraham Avinu had a lot of people, had a lot of men. And yet he himself is standing there making sure that every detail is carried out to the fullest. Okay, now we have to notice something. The Gemara says this. Avraham Avinu did some things on his own, and even he didn't do everything. The meat, he went to himself. Chem'a v'chalav, it says, v'ikach, and he took chem'a v'chalav. With water, it says, yukach nam at maim. His water he didn't fetch. Water was brought by an Eved. Maybe Eliezer, maybe another Eved. And the Gemara says that in the Midbar, when Bnei Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, so whatever Avraham Avinu did himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in the Midbar himself. The meat, which was the slav in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself made fall from heaven. But the water, which Moshe Rabbeinu had to bring it. He had to, the first rock was Tzurach HaLamish, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to hit, and he hit it. And the second time that they complained for water, because Rocha didn't make it rain, Moshe Rabbeinu had to go talk to the rock the second time they didn't have water. And he was impatient with Bnei Yisrael, and he hit the rock, and because of that, he and Aaron didn't get into Eretz Yisrael. So the sefer that I have at home, Yanko Galinsky, says, look, listen to this. What would have happened if Avram would have brought the water himself? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given Klal Yisrael the water himself. And then there wouldn't have been an issue of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron hitting or talking to the rock. And then they would have gone into Eretz Yisrael. Beis HaMikdash would have been built and never destroyed. That's what Chazal says. Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael. And Mashiach would have been. It would not have been a galus. Why did it happen? Because Avram Avinu himself didn't bring the water. Now, did he do anything wrong, Avram, by not bringing the water? No, he didn't really do anything wrong. But it's a consequence. You didn't do it, so I can't do it, or I'm not going to do it, because you didn't input that into creation, your Mesiras Nefesh, to get water. Not that you did something wrong, but you didn't do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do it in the Midbar. And through that action, or the misaction, I mean, so went into Golus. Whoa! So, when we do, let's use that as something for ourselves. When we have an opportunity to do the chesed, or an opportunity to make someone else feel good, first of all, we might not do it at all. Second of all, we might do it, but we'll do it in a very bedieved way. Okay, I have to do something for this guy, so I'll do it. I'll give him the minimum. Then even if I am going to give that person everything, but I'm going to, because it bugs me to give him, I'm going to get somebody else to give him. Or, you know, leave it and he'll take it. Anything that I won't have to bow down and serve that person. Okay, you think that's so not important. But look what happened to Avram. When he didn't fulfill it all the way himself, Klal Yisrael lost out for generations because of it. For generations, Ramesh, from an action. So you're not allowed to, we're not allowed to, minimize anything we do. When we have an opportunity to make someone feel better, serve someone, and I'm not going to say it's easy, but we must think to ourselves, how would I have Avram Avinu do it? We'll soon see Rivka with the camels, but how would they do it? Would they do it half-heartedly? Would they do part of the action? Would they just do it in order to make the other person get what he wants, but not make him feel good about it? How would they do it? If we look upwards, Esoi Nail Harim, look at our forefathers, who are called Harim, and see how they did things, it would affect our actions, and we are obligated to do that. We're Yidden, we are their offspring. One of the girls at Lent in Ma'or said to me, Pshat, in Shmona Esrei, when we say, B'zocher chasdei avot, U'mevi goel livnei v'neihem, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember the actions of the forefathers, the Ovis, and in that chus, mevi goel livnei v'neihem, bring the geula to their offspring. And she said to me that, Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu remember the Shechusim of the fathers to bring us the Geula? So she said, only if I try and follow in their footsteps. If I follow in the Ovis's footsteps, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that Taki, I'm their offspring, I'm trying to act like them, so then in their Shechus he'll bring me the Geula. But if I'm not trying to follow in their footsteps, why should he? I want only the merits from the others, but I'm not going to try and live like them. So, you know, it's not compatible. So I've got to look upwards and see, wait a minute, what I'm doing now, is it perfect? Can I make it better? Can I improve it? On the marshal of when I'm Avram, when he did the chesed himself, or he sent someone to do it, so the mashgichim are always telling the father, you know, you're in shul with your son, and your son's not davening properly, or you see that he's looking around, etc. So what do? You tell your son to look in the siddur. And the son looks at you, and he doesn't say this, but he says, he looks at you, you're allowed to talk to your friend in Kabbalah Shabbos. You're allowed to be distracted. He's got to do it. It doesn't work like that. If you daven with all your heart and you put your kishkas into your davening, your kid will follow. Don't give him musar how to. You do it. Very often, when somebody comes to the door, so we'll give a shekel or whatever to our kid and say, yeah, go give him. So when is he going to give tzedakah? When he's your child. And when he grows up, he's going to tell his son to give a shekel to the guy at the door. He's always doing chinuch, right? Why don't you get up and give him? Why don't you show that you care? So I'm not talking about when the guy at the door doesn't need it, but when the guy does need it, or when you see a friend who needs something and you can help with all your heart and you don't, so you expect your kid to? Well, he's going to be better than you. Why should he? You do it. So let's see Eliezer. This week's parsha is Eliezer is choosing a Kale for Yitzchok. And Eliezer puts a test to Rivka that doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. Listen what happens. He comes to the well outside Haran. And he sees a girl who we know from Rashi to be 3. And in other Midrashim, the worst or the maximum she would be is 12. She comes with a jug to draw water from the well. Okay, so she puts the jug next to the well and probably has a bucket on a chain and it goes inside the well and she draws the water and pours it into the bucket and she bends over to lower the bucket and Eliezer sees that the water rises towards her. Hello, that's not normal. No, that's not enough for Eliezer. Maybe, what's your question? Don't you realize that this girl's a tzaddikis? You got to put her through a test of how much water she's going to water the camels? Why, you can't just take Rivka now. You just found the jackpot. So Eliezer thinks to himself, yeah, okay, she might be a tzaddikis. She might have tremendous chusim. She might daven chaval al hazman. But I don't know what chesed she does. I have to see the levels of a chesed because Avram, as we saw, his chesed was abnormal. It was past the norms of human beings. And we mentioned a few times in school this thing how Avram would teach people how to enjoy life more than they even knew. He would teach them, if you didn't know how to drink wine, here, I'll teach you how to drink wine. I'll make you enjoy this world even better than you thought you could. And if you used to eating barley bread, I'll teach you how to eat wheat bread, which is tastier. Because he wants people to feel better. He wants not just to fulfill what they're lacking. He wants to give to the point where people have enjoyment and are excited. And again, that's not just fulfilling a person's needs. That's giving way and above and beyond what is necessary. Because that's how Avram saw from Ribbono Shel Olam, that he gives us in a way which is much more than we need. And you have to think of that. I was walking to shul yesterday. Gee, so many things going on my way to shul. And there's a tree a bit past my house where the leaves are now orangey. So if you live in Baltimore, it's always like that. You have these enormous leaves falling and filling up your sidewalks and you can't walk. It's so crazy. But here they stay in the tree and they're orange and they're a beautiful color. It's only a certain times of the year. And I forced myself to think. I'm not used to this kind of stuff, but I have to because, hello, I'm teaching it. So I look at it and I see it's orange and it's a very different hue than it is during the year. And I thought, but Wenzel doesn't have to do that for me. He doesn't have to do that for us. But he's doing that so I feel nice. I'll enjoy this world. Otherwise, it could have just been a dark gray. The Gamano, no. It's a certain type of a color that, wow, I learned to appreciate what he's doing for me. So now, how many other things that I want and I need? But there's a reason why I'm not having them. But what I am having, I must realize he's doing it in the most beautiful way. So when I learned from the Ribbono Shel Olam, I said, Avraham Avinu did. He watched, how did Hashem give? So he said, wait a minute, I also have to give. I don't need that. I could have, without knowing that there is such a thing, Bichlal, and he still gave it to me to teach me, I can go above and beyond what I need and have, and I must do that to people. And Avraham Avinu, that's how he taught himself. Was it easy for him? I don't know. It doesn't say in Chazal. It doesn't say whether he had a Yetzer Hara or not, too, but it makes sense. People don't do that. People don't run after surgery, boiling hot outside, leave the Ribbono Shel Olam and bow down flat on your face to welcome three Arabs. People don't do that. But Avraham did to make people feel better because he saw the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Eliezer, when he saw Rivka, the water rising, so she said, okay, she knows she might be, maybe she'll be a Rebbe one day and do miracles, but how do I know she knows how to do chesed above and beyond normal? Because otherwise she can't fit into Avraham's home. And what bugged me was, who was she going to marry? Not Avraham. Avraham was married. Avraham had a wife. He had Sarah. He had Hagar. He was okay. He was set. Who was he marrying? Yitzchak. Now Yitzchak, his forte, we always know, wasn't chesed. Avraham was din. Yitzchak wasn't chesed. Yitzchak was din. He was gvure. Why is he testing her with chesed? Why isn't he testing her how she davens? Because Yitzchak was gvure. So, first of all, you see that, and this is true about all the others, by the way, each Av had all characteristics. Each Av. But each Av had his own forte. Each Av had his speciality. Avraham was Chesed, Yitzchak was Din, and Yaakov was Torah, Emes. But each one, Yitzchak also taught thousands of people to be close to Hashem. They took him, but I don't want to waste time now. But his forte was Gvurah, but to fit into Avraham's home, you had to be like Avraham. You had to fit into that kind of Chesed. So what did Eliezer do? He saw the water rising, and then he says to this little girl, give me, you know, I'm going to open my mouth. Hagimi nomi kadech. I'm going to open, Hagimi is like a camel. I'm going to open my mouth, and you're going to pour water inside. Now, if we could have said, listen, Basta, I don't have to give you nothing. I don't talk to strangers. But she didn't do that. And she could have said to him, listen, I'm drawing the water. You want to take my jug, because maybe you don't have a jug, which is hard to believe. He had 10 camels. Camels don't go without jugs of water, and he had slaves for these camels. So he probably had a jug. But he was going to see, listen to the test, is Rivka going to give him what he needs, in which case he has what he needs. He doesn't need Rivka. So Rivka can say, get lost, Buster. You're just trying to start up with me. I'm walking out and going home. Instead, she is looking how to make someone feel better. You're a stranger in town. You need something. I am so excited because I didn't know I have opportunity to give you because you didn't look like you needed something. Now you're telling me you need it. I don't know why you need it. I don't know why, but I'm so excited. You don't have something. And I'm going to try and fulfill it. So he opened his mouth and she pours it in. And she says, wait a minute, you got 10 camels? Give me the opportunity, please, to give me to your camels as well. Now, the Rav of the Rova, if you remember him, and wait, what's his name? Avigdor Neventzal. He tells a story that his brother was in the war in the desert, and next to the army base was a camel. And he said, we used to give water to this camel. He said his brother told him that they used to draw water and give water to this camel every day. And he said men, soldiers, had to give so much water. The camel drinks once a day and fills up. He said it's a huge effort to feed one single camel because it drinks so much. And here you have a girl of three who has her own little jug and bucket, and she's drawing. She said, I want to give you camels. And the 10 servants standing and watching. Now, why didn't Rivka say, listen, I'll help you, but help me at the same time, or I'll start you guys off to teach you because maybe strangers, you don't know how to do it in our town. I'll give you permission. No, there's nothing doing. This girl just gets going. And she's drawing water for 10 camels. And as I said before, each camel drinks a huge amount. What is it? What drove Rivka? So I don't know what it is. It doesn't make sense. But maybe there was some kind of a thing in her head. Maybe they feel strangers. Maybe they feel uncomfortable taking because they're out of town and they're scared that people will say something to them. But if I draw it, so they'll... I live here, so I can do what I want. I don't know what went through her head, okay? But all we see is that Eliezer went to and tested her in chesed to the nth degree. And when he saw that she's doing this, he knew that his prayers were answered and he's found the right girl for Yitzchak. And then he put, then he gave her a machtzis shekel, a beka la gulgolet. He gave her a gift, and he gave her bracelets which represent the luchis. Chazal say, what is it going to do with anything? Come on, he gave her a gift. He gave her this. Why did you say that it represents the Torah that's coming? So Rav Neventzel says that it was a remez to the shleimus that she is doing, which Am Yisrael is going to reach the shleimus. The machtzis shekel means that we have a connection each with each other. That's what the machtzis shekel stands for, and the bracelets represent the Torah Kedusha, the luchis, which is the shleimus of a yid. To teach her that this is what she's doing, she's an incredible shleimus. Now, if Rivka is such a giver, how come she took the gifts? Huh? I never thought of that question before. Wow. Rivka, and Rav Neventzel asked that question, if Rivka is such a giver, and giving to the nth degree, why'd she take? And so, without going into detail now, but he says that to take sometimes is giving because it makes the giver feel good. If you don't, let's imagine, Eliezer just took from this little girl tons of water, bothered her for 2 hours to draw water for these camels. I don't know how long, but it didn't take 5 minutes. Now, there must have been some kind of guilt trip that he was on using this little girl for whatever reason why Rivka must have thought in her head, what does he want from me? And isn't she bothered now? Isn't she the one that, whoa, I am so special? So she takes the gift to make Eliezer feel that he's paying her so that he'll feel okay with himself. She didn't want to take. Rivka doesn't take. Rivka's a giver. But by taking sometimes, you're giving back the feeling of that person's dignity by taking, which again is giving. So I think what we need to take from these parshiyos, well, I've just spelt it out. I don't even have to conclude anything. It's not thinking about what that person needs, or I have to do it, or let someone else do it. Thank God I didn't have to help that person. Somebody else helped them. It's keeping your eyes peeled to see what you can do to make another person's life better. And the one to start with is yourself. Think how you need to boost yourself, that you're able to do it, that you're worth something. You're a special person, you're a Bas Yisrael, which has the genes of the Oves HaKadoshim and the Imahot HaKadoshot, and that means that you can do everything you want to in the world with Ruchnias. And when you realize that, then you can start helping the people around you. When was the last time you gave a nice smile to your kid brother, especially after he messed your room? So many things that we can do with the people around us to make them feel good, and then expand it to other Ma'or girls, to other people around you, not only Ma'or, don't be so spiteful, and see where I can make people around me feel better about themselves, and it doesn't have to be something that they're lacking. It could be something that I can make them feel good, and they didn't realize that they can have it, something nicer, like Avram did with teaching people, and like Rivka did when they didn't need it, but she was going to help them in some way where there was some obviously thinking going in her mind that these people are asking me because something's bugging them. Now, I don't even know if she found the answer why, but she never even asked Eliezer, before I help you, sir, what's your problem? Why can't you take yourself? No, it didn't work like that. Why? Because she had the opportunity to give. It's not normal. And she said, Dishmaya, we should merit to have the schus of giving. And as we see by Avram, what he did himself, Klal Yisrael benefited for generations. And what he didn't do by himself, not as a punishment, but as a consequence, Am Yisrael lacked it. So we haven't got a clue, when we do an action, what it can benefit ourselves, how it can benefit our offspring, it can benefit people around us, it can be a tikkun for the world. We don't know. So we must try not to hold back and give to as much as we can. Okay, I've gone over time. I've got to get ready for shul, and it's been a pleasure. Okay, Adina?